things over the years that strengthen faith. And one of those is actually seeing it for real, you know. And so if you ever get a chance to go on a trip like that, make sure that you do, because it'll broaden your faith and strengthen what God has got in you. I took a class through a video series where the guy traced the footsteps of Paul. And so he would go there and he would say, "You see this spot right here? This is where," and you know what? You could, and I had people in the class coming up to me say, "You know, that stuff in the Bible is real." And you know what? That stuff in the Bible, it's real. We have not believed cunningly devised fables. I think that's one of my most favorite passages of scriptures, you know, because there are fables out there. There are things that you can buy into that mean nothing. But our faith, it changes lives, it moves mountains, it restores relationships, it repairs people, and it gives people hope and salvation and a promise of eternal life. How much better can it get than that? Bow with me if you will. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we love you. And Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that the things that are said here will honor and glorify you. And Lord, that we'll lift the name of Jesus with our thoughts and our intents and our words. We ask in his name. Amen. Pastor Steve and I kind of worked together on this message before he left, and it's kind of a bridge between what he did last week and what's going to happen next week. And so I want to talk to you about a message that's entitled 154. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, I'm hoping to change that. And it started out when I read a book by a guy named Gene Mims. And some of you may know who Gene Mims is. He's a longtime pastor and author. And he'd been in this church for a long time. And he woke up one day feeling like he was on a merry-go-round. Same programs, year in, year out. They did the same Christmas, you know, the same time of the year they would gear up for their Christmas program, or they would gear up for their Easter program, or Bible school would come around in the summer, or they would have this revival this week. In other words, everything was just a cookie cutter, a carbon copy of what it was the year before. And he got the feeling kind of frustrated with that. And so he began to pray that God would take him off the merry-go-round. And so what he said was that God impressed upon him an equation of sorts that I want to share with you this morning. And it's an equation that really could revolutionize not only the way churches approach their ministries, but the way that you and I approach our lives. If it doesn't change our lives, what good is it, right? We need to say something that's going to help. And so, you know, as a result, he wrote this book called Kingdom Principles for Church Growth. And he called the equation the 1-5-4 principle. And it's something that I want to share with you today. Okay? The first thing is this. There's one commission. Right? That's it. We have one job. One thing that God wants us to do, and it's the Great Commission, to make disciples, to baptize them and teach them according to the commands of the Lord. And the ultimate purpose of history is obviously to glorify God through Christ, through what he has commanded us to do. And the last thing he said was to go into the world and make disciples. Last thing he said. I remember, I've shared this illustration before, my mom and dad would leave the house when I was a youngster, and they would give me a list of chores. Whatever that was, whether it was kick my sister, you know, whatever that was, I was supposed to do that. And when they came home, they were looking to see whether that job was done or not. You know? And what the Lord has told us is that we are to be working with an eye on the future, but with our hands in the present. And that's working about this Great Commission, this one purpose that God has given us, this overriding, it encompasses everything that we do. And if what we do does not fulfill or help us fulfill that purpose, it really doesn't need to be done. So one commission, one thing that we're about. And then under that, there's five functions. Okay? I need to kind of break away from this for a minute and talk a little bit about form and function, because we'll talk about forms in a minute. And this, some of you may have been with me on a Wednesday night, and we've talked about this. Form is, a function is something that we're supposed to do. It's kind of like this. A doctor's function is to heal people, right? Now, he may use a prescription to do that. He may use, if he's a chiropractor, he may crack your back to do that. If he's a surgeon, he may operate to do that. All of those are forms. But the function is making people better. That's the function that a doctor serves. Like a chair. I'm sitting on a high chair this morning. I'm sitting on a taller chair this morning. You're sitting on a shorter chair. My wife says, yeah, he needs to be in a high chair. Sometimes we'll sit on pews. Sometimes we'll sit on stools. All of those are forms, but the function is to hold us up, right? So there's a difference between form and function, right? Function serves purpose. Form serves function. All right. Now we've got that out of the way. Five functions. And the first one of those is evangelism. Now, I know that's kind of related to the Great Commission, but it's so important that it really needs to be one of the key things that we are about. The purpose of our church, making disciples, and it's necessary before anyone can hear, before anyone can be saved, they have to hear it. In the book of Acts, you'll find the only recorded salvations outside of the Gospels where Jesus was dealing directly with people. And in every case, before somebody got saved, they heard the gospel. It has to happen. Now, sometimes you hear it through preaching. Sometimes you hear it through reading. In other words, people have to hear so that they can believe. And you and I and this church have been commissioned to make disciples. We can do it by being a bold witness in our words and in our deeds. We do it by making associations where we work. We befriend our neighbors, and we reach out to people that we come into contact with. And we associate with them. And hopefully our life rubs off on them enough to know that there's something different about us. You know, I used to have this barber in South Florida. His name is Woody. He kind of looked like Woody the Woodpecker, but his name was Woody. And he said he used to drive by our church. He drove by our church for 10 years. And he said, you know, there's something different about that place. This is in South Florida. There was something different about that place. There was something going on. He saw the lives of the people that he came into contact with. And that made a difference to him, and he ultimately got saved. So we make those associations, and we persevere in a wicked world. You know, it's hard. You know, we always talk about how wicked this world is and how hard it is to live. But when you maintain your Christian faith, your Christian testimony, you make a difference, and that is a witness to people. You can declare the gospel verbally, or you can declare the gospel from the pulpit in a church, that God loved us enough to send his son to die for us so that our sins could be forgiven and we can place our faith and trust in him. That's another way of doing it. So whatever the form is, whether it's preaching, whether it's lifestyle evangelism, whether it's door knocking, whether it's witnessing on the, you know, at work, whatever those ways are, those forms, we as members of God's workforce should be able to declare what God has done for us fearlessly and clearly as ambassadors for Christ. And you say to me, well, Brother Jeff, I'm not very good at talking. I don't know how to tell somebody about the Lord. Anybody ever feel that way? I see a number of heads doing this. Greatest story I've ever seen on that is in the Bible where the blind man that Jesus had healed said, hey, I don't know what's going on here, but I was lost, or I was blind, but now I see. I've had surgery before. I couldn't do the surgery. I couldn't describe the surgery, but I know that I was better after the surgery, and I could describe what that surgery did for me. And so sharing your faith is sometimes just that simple, where you can say, you know, look, I may not have all the answers for you, but this is what my life was, and now this is what my life is. This is the difference that Jesus made in my life. Evangelism. That's our function. That's what we're to be about. And what we do in our church needs to focus on that function. Number two, discipleship. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going to lay these five functions out to you, and then I'm going to tell you one thing after that, and then give you some observations. But once a person responds to the gospel, once they've become a believer, right, They move from unbeliever to believer and into the realm of discipleship, and it's the function of the church to further their discipleship process, to train them, to teach them, you know, how to pray, how to study their Bible. You know, we disciple in many forms. We disciple from the pulpit sometimes, where we preach God's word. We do it inductively, we do it exegetically, expositionally, and all those $3 words, you know, those are things that we do from the pulpit. And that's a way that we disciple people. We also teach the Word of God in various settings. You know, often the principles that you talk about in your daily life with people is teaching God's Word, right? I know what the world says, but my faith says that I live this way is a way of teaching God's Word. It's a way of pouring your life into someone else. Sometimes we admonish one another. We encourage one another. Every now and then, we have to rebuke one another. That's a form of discipleship. Encouraging, exhorting, equipping believers. Discipleship. And so believers must be trained. We must be trained in these practical areas so that we know how to study our Bibles better, so that we know how to pray, so that we know how to witness, so we know how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and the power of God, so that we can share our faith, take care of that first function, right? Once we're a better disciple, and that a new person can become from an unbeliever or a disbeliever to a believer and move into being a disciple, and they can repeat that process. It's what we're about. It is a function. So evangelism, discipleship. Now number three, fellowship. And everybody says, man, I like that one. It's fried chicken after church, right? My dad used to tell a story and always cracked me up. He said they would have the preacher over for Sunday. And I don't know if he ever went to church as a child, but he was a great storyteller, right? So he would talk about having the preacher over for Sunday, and the preacher would give this long, extended prayer. And while he was praying, he would be picking the best pieces of fried chicken and putting them on his plate. Often, we leave fellowship on the dinner table, don't we? And it's a great thing to do, you know? But really, here's what fellowship is, right? And it's real difficult. It's fulfilling one another, right? It's me, more than me sharing a meal with you, more than you sharing a meal with me, or us gathering in the parking lot. It's me fulfilling my responsibilities to you. Now, what are those responsibilities? Well, I need to love you as Christ loved the church, as he loves me. I need to encourage you. You need to encourage me. We need to admonish one another and encourage one another. Here's one. We need to forgive one another. Because I promise you, there are times when we step on your toes, when you step on mine. If I step on yours, it's going to hurt, right? And so there are times that we forgive, and there's times that we serve, and there's times where we have to submit to one another. There's sometimes that the way that I want to do it just is not right. And so I submit to somebody else. And I allow that to be done. That's part of fellowship. It's fulfilling. It's joining together. It's accepting one another. And that doesn't necessarily mean approval, right? But it's accepting one another, and it's honoring one another. And it's even restoring one another when restoration is needed. So fellowship, it's a lot more than sharing a meal. It's a lot more than going on a picnic. It's fulfilling one another. It's helping a brother and sister that's walking through life walk through life better. Now, some of that overlaps with discipleship, doesn't it? Sometimes it'll overlap with evangelism. But all three are functions. Now, here's the fourth one. Ministry. That all sounds like ministry, doesn't it? Well, ministry and service. And one of our greatest expressions of our love for Christ can be seen in the way that we serve and minister to other people. That's what, when we come into somebody's life and we serve them, that is a demonstration of what Jesus did, because Jesus served people of all kinds, all walks of life, all shapes, whether they were sick, whether they were well. Sometimes when he healed the sick, it was the greatest service that he could do that would show the power of God. So serving one another. And there's basically four ways that I could talk about this ministry service thing for a long time, but for the sake of time, let me put it four simple ways. The first one is outreach. We minister by reaching out into our community and outside the church. We do that through evangelism, through community service, through our missions programs, and other areas where our ministry is outreach outside the church. The second way is inreach. because we need to minister to one another. And so the church reaching those inside the church with encouragement and fellowship and discipleship and kids programs and youth ministries and big Christmas productions and all of these things, those are ministries that we have where we work in one another's lives. Then there's upreach. This comes under another function too, but the church reaching up by communicating and giving to God, whether it's through praise, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through worship, or whether it's just by simply living a sacrificial life. And then there's downreach. So you got outreach, inreach, upreach, downreach. And this is God reaching down by communicating and giving to the church. He left us His Word. He left the Holy Spirit to us. He gives direction in our lives. Okay? That's God reaching down. So all of those are areas of ministry. So you got evangelism, you got discipleship, right? You got fellowship, and you got ministry. And number four, worship. And we probably could preach all year on worship because there's so many different ideas of what worship is. But let me try to put it in a nutshell. Worship is simply declaring God's worth. And there's a number of forms to do that, but the function is to declare God's worth and God's value. And this declaration is made both privately in our private lives and in our public lives as well. It's made as a congregation when we draw together, where we come together and we sing and we praise God to declare He is worthy. But worship really involves a lot more than just our singing, more than our time in church on Sunday morning. If that was the case, then we could only worship when we're in church, and the Scriptures teach other than that. Music in both private and public settings are very important because they touch our emotions. They allow us to declare publicly what we believe. It impacts the way that we live. Sometimes a song will speak to me when a sermon could never speak to me because it touches that emotion within me. We worship by giving praise and thanksgiving to God, both in our private and our public lives. And then one of my most favorite is from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you." So Paul's telling us, give our bodies to God simply because He saved us, because of what He did for us. And he says, let them, your lives, let your body be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable, right? So live a life that will be pleasing to God because of what He has done for you. And it says, this is truly the way to worship Him. So we worship God simply the way that we live our lives. Now, there's other forms of worship too. But the key is that, and we've only touched on these briefly, there's books written about each one of them. The five functions are evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, ministry, and worship. Our main purpose is the Great Commission. And so all of these functions that we're talking about fulfill the purpose of the church, and that is to reach people. And if the functions that we are doing are the forms that we're using to fulfill those functions are not fulfilling the functions, they need to go away. And sometimes that can really step on somebody's toes because we get really attached to programs and forms. And we ascribe function to something that is only a form. And so number four, or the fourth thing is, you got the one, the five, now the four. This is the four results that flow from our functions. In other words, if we're a healthy church and we're doing these five functions the way that God would have us do them in a healthy manner, there will be results that come from that. And they're this. Number one is numerical growth. Number two is spiritual growth. Number three is expanding ministries. And number four is expanding missions. So 1, 5, 4. One purpose. Five functions, four results. A simple equation that tells us that if a church is focused on its purpose and is carrying out the functions, God will bless it with these things. And sometimes that growth is different in one church than it is another. Sometimes it's rapid, sometimes it's slow, but there will always be some sort of growth. I was sitting here last week and, you know, I was thinking about missions. Being a missionary, I kind of do that every now and then. And I think about our church, you know, expanding missions. We've got Brother Sullivan, Tony and Julie Sullivan in Australia. We've got Pastor and Pat Bradley that are ministering in Asia. Sandra and I are going back to Bolivia. You've got John Rao and his family going to China. I believe you got Rachel Stringer that's training to go into medical missions, if I'm not mistaken. Sometimes we forget that, but she's training to be a medical missionary. And if I'm not mistaken, your name was mentioned last week as seeking God's will for direction. Our missions are expanding. You see what I'm talking about? Our ministries are expanding. How many chaplains did we have in our church 5 years ago? We didn't, did we? But our ministries are expanding. Our church is growing and we're seeing spiritual growth. All of these things are good. And so, you know, as you can imagine, there's a lot of details to this process. And my goal this morning is not to cover every nuance of these functions or even our purpose or even the results, but it's to kind of give us an idea, a simplified understanding of what we're to be about, help us with our expectations of what we should be as a church. And I think that expectations are something that are crucial that must be talked about. It's important that when we enter into something that you and I expect the same things. If I pre-marriage counsel somebody, I spend a lot of times talking about expectations. Sandra and I talk about what we expect in almost everything of life. We go on vacation. You know, I'm thinking about sitting down next to the river with a book and she's out there wanting to ski, right? Our expectations would be different, right? She doesn't ski anymore. Anyway, so our expectations would be different. We go on this vacation, you spend all this money, and I'm wanting to sit by the river, and she's wanting to be out in the boat, and we're frustrated because our expectations are different. Well, same thing's true in a church. When your expectations and your expectations and my expectations are different, and we don't understand the direction that we're going, frustration enters into the picture. Okay? So this will help us. You know, we understand what our purpose is. We understand what our functions are, and we start to look at the forms that we use. And Pastor Steve last week talked about that garden, that tree that was bearing no fruit, right? And so as he was talking about that, and I was thinking about where we were going to go today, probably one of the best places to start when you're doing that evaluation, and you need to do it as a person, and I need to do it as a person, and we need to do it as a church. Probably one of the best places to start is, hey, what am I doing right? Right? What am I doing that I need to keep doing? And we'll worry about the negative stuff later. That's not my place this morning. My place is to talk to you today about some things that are going on really good in our church. Because I want to encourage you. This year is just getting rolling. It's just getting started. And we've got some great things ahead of us. And I think we need to kind of celebrate those things a little bit. Pastor Steve, when we were talking about this message, it dawned on me that Sandra and I have been around a while. Some of y'all have been here longer than we have. Some of you have been here shorter than we have. And I kind of want to tell you a little bit about that so that you understand maybe my perspective. I've been honored to be around for 32 years. Sandra and I will be married 32 years this summer, and we were married in this building. It didn't look the same, did it, for any of you old-timers? Remember the old yellow carpet that used to be in here, right? Used to be wrought iron up there. It's changed. But been 32 years that I've been privileged to be here, and Sandra's been around since Moses, right? Oh, Miriam. So she grew up here. She was saved here. She went out to surrender to be a missionary here. She was sent out to Bible college from here. We were married here in 1983, and while members here, we've been teachers and volunteers in several areas of ministry. We both went back to Bible college from here. I was licensed and ordained through the ministry of this church. This church sent us to the mission field. It's sending us back to the mission field. I'm honored to be part of the staff here, you know. Been around a long time. And as I've watched Victory over 30 years, we've changed a lot. And we talk about our purpose is still the same. Our forms have changed a little bit. We do things a little bit different. But in this process of as time has gone by and as our church has changed, we're seeing God do some things in our midst now that are very good. And I want to share some of those with you this morning. Because I think right now we're as healthy as a church as we ever have been. And I think it's important to celebrate those things. We're sending missionaries to various parts of the world, which says that we're missions-minded. That's a good thing, isn't it? We're reaching into the community. I remember Don Hill saying something to Pastor Steve one time, how that he's been around for 20 years, and he's never seen this church involved as much in the community as it is today. I like that, and you should too. Here's one for you. The racial boundaries in this church are coming down fast. 30 years ago, it was different than that. That's an important thing in our community. We have several chaplains and various outreach ministries within our church, which tells us that our church is geared to outreach. We reach into the community with programs like John 3:16. We have the Engage Sunday, where we're out in the community and we're visible. In other words, folks, your church loves the community in which it lives. And that is important. That's a thing that we all need to understand about our church. It's one of the forms that we use to fulfill the function of evangelism, is reaching out into our community. Now, there's going to be some overlap with some of these things. And you'll think about it I'll say something here and I'll think it's part of a discipleship ministry and you'll think it's part of an evangelistic ministry. And that's okay. But I'm going to continue with this list and I want you to think about some of the things that we're doing good as a church. I like it that there's many levels of discipleship. You know, a couple years ago, we had a class back in the back and we went through this discipleship training. And there's a number of you that have been through that discipleship training and are now discipling other people, aren't you? And that's a great thing. That's because somebody poured their life into you and you're now pouring your life into someone else. I like it that our youth pastor goes at 6 o'clock in the morning, with a 0:30 in the morning, to disciple young people. I think about my son who's in the military, who went at 6 o'clock in the morning and spent time being discipled. Discipleship is an important thing to this church, and that's something that we need to be pleased about. Our student ministries dig into the Word. In other words, parents, when your kids are here, they're going to have fun. You know, they're going to see who can hold their head in the bucket of peanut butter the longest without suffocating. They're going to do those kind of things, but they're going to dig into the Word. They're going to be discipled, and they're going to be ministered to through the Word of God. I like the things that Pastor Steve said this morning about the Word of God, how that it is truthful, it is reliable, how that you can trust it, how that we've not believed cunningly devised fables, but that those folks that were in the Bible were eyewitnesses of the very glory of Jesus, and they recorded it in His Word. And in John 17, what you call Jesus' high priestly prayer, He prayed for you and I who would believe through the testimony of those people who had been eyewitnesses. It's real, and it's important in this church. It's the most important thing that we do, is proclaim the Word of God and live by the Word of God. I like it that you trust your pastors, even though you may not always agree with them. That's a good thing. You're not always going to agree with everybody, but you trust your pastors. I like it that your leadership team, consisting of pastors, deacons, and trustees, all seem to work well together. In other words, they can come together around a purpose and move forward with it and lead this church in the right direction. I like our special events. I think about our missions conference. Anybody enjoy the tailgate parties that we had recently? Or what was it, the trunk or treat, you know? I remember Don Hill trying to kill kids as he was driving around on this tractor with his hayrides, you know? All kinds of great things. Bounce houses, you know, the movies, the things that we do at the park. In other words, this church comes together, has special events that are just absolutely tremendous. I like it that our church encourages each other to make family important. You know, I miss Sunday night, but I tell you what, it's awful nice to be able to focus on my family on Sunday nights as well. In the world that we live in, as busy as it is, finding that extra couple hours in the week to spend time with my wife and with my kids when they're around is hard. And so I love it that our church encourages us to make family important. I like it that our life groups are more than just a Sunday morning only event. And we're going to see that snowball, and we're going to see groups, we're going to see our life groups do more as time goes out. I like it that some of you meet on a regular basis. I walked into, what's that over there on TC's Grill several months ago, and there was three or four of the guys from Pinnacle there having breakfast, fellowshipping together. I think that's a great thing. I like it that some of you meet on Friday nights and share a meal, or Saturday mornings. In other words, we spend time together. We fellowship one with another. You know, another thing I like about our church is that people feel welcome when they come here. I talked to somebody who said, you know, we visited church for 10 months and nobody ever spoke to us. But when I came here, you folks actually seem like you want us here. And you know what? We do want you here. We want people to feel that way. And that's important to us. This is the spirit of encouragement and a spirit of wanting to reach out to people and welcome them into our doors. That is an incredibly important thing about your church. I remember somebody who got mad and left one time. And nobody's ever done that, right? Somebody got mad one time and they left. And they visited around for 3 or 4 months and they came back. You know what they said? I came back to Victory because the people are nice. Right? That's important. So we welcome people and we want them. We want them to feel like they're actually part of this group of believers. We actually work on encouraging one another. You know, I can't tell you how many times somebody has come and put their arm around me and encouraged me in something that I was doing or a project that was going on, or when somebody's in the hospital, somebody will encourage the family and pray for the family. That is important, and it happens in your church. We also understand, too, that people don't necessarily want friendliness. They want friends. And you know there's a big difference there, right? I mean, if you're friendly to me, that's nice. I'll see you at Walmart and wave at you. But if you're my friend, we're going to invest in one another's lives, and that is important. I like it that there's a lot of ministries that you can be involved with here. Don't ever tell yourself there's nothing that you can do, right? There's always something that someone can do regardless of their level of talent. I grew up in South Florida. And in South Florida, there's canals everywhere, right? And there's causeways and bridges. And in those bridges, there's a section of steel grate. And it, when a boat comes through, it raises. And there's some guy that has to sit in a box in the middle of a bridge and push a button when a boat wants to come through. Right? And you can imagine that he probably feels pretty useless at times. But what would happen if he wasn't there and a boat comes through? And he wasn't there to do his job? He wasn't there to push that button and that boat can't stop? It's going to crash into that bridge? Or when he raises that bridge and the boat's able to go through so the boat can get to its destination, his job becomes pretty important at that point, doesn't it? And I say that to say this, folks. There's no ministry in this church that's unimportant. There's no job here that if you take part in that, that does not serve a purpose and accomplish something. And so no matter what your gift is, no matter what your talent is, there's something that you can be involved in here. I like it that becoming a member here is not the easiest process in the world. We actually expect something of our members, and we want you to be involved and to do something. We want you to believe something or to work on believing something, towards something. That's important because we want you to grow as a disciple. I like it that our children have a place where somebody intentionally makes it a priority to minister to them. I've been in churches where kids could quote VeggieTales verbatim, because all they ever had was somebody pushing a VHS or a DVD or whatever it is these days and push play. But here you have people that actually teach your children and minister your children. I like our Awana program on Wednesday night that reaches out into our community and shares the gospel with people who might not normally hear the gospel and disciples children. I like it that those guys in the back that have an interest in technology have a place to minister, have a place to work, and it's important. Because you couldn't hear me, and you might be better off this morning not hearing me. But you couldn't hear me if those guys weren't there. How many of you drank coffee this morning? That ministry is pretty important on an early Sunday morning, isn't it? Right? Thank you for doing that. We have lots of ministries that people get for people to get involved in. If you like drama, there's a place for you to serve. If you like to reach out into the community and reach poor people, you can do that here. If you want to teach, there's a place that you can teach. If you want to preach, you can do that here. If you like to work with children, there's a need for you here. If you want to serve people, there's lots of opportunities for you to serve someone here. In other words, there's an awful lot of ministries for you to become involved with at Victory Baptist Church, and that's a good thing. You see, all of these things help us fulfill the functions that we have as a church so that our church can move towards its purpose, and that's the Great Commission. I like it that we worship corporately in music and giving and proclaiming God's word. And I like it that we expect one another to live like believers should. I was in a church in Ohio one time, and a guy came to me, and he kind of scratched his head, and he said, "Pastor," he says, you actually expect us to live like people in the Bible, don't you?" And I said, "Man, you're getting it." He wasn't complimenting me, right? He didn't like that he was expected to live, but we expect that. We want people to live as Christ would live. That's important. Well, all of these things and 100 that I've probably missed demonstrate that our church as a whole is, you know what? Are we perfect? No. Is there room for improvement? Yes. But you know what I'm talking about? Is that we strive to be a functioning New Testament church, being about the purpose that God has called us to, and that's the Great Commission. We work hard at fulfilling the functions that a church should fulfill. And there's lots of forms, lots of ways that you and I can come together and be part of this functioning church that can fulfill the Great Commission. And when I think about the church and I ask that question, how are we doing? I think we're doing pretty good, but we could do better, as always. What about you? I have to spend just a minute here where I'm over on my time already. How are you doing? What are you involved in? You know, could you imagine that looking back on this year, this would be the year that you would begin serving? That this might be the year that you do learn how to witness to somebody? Maybe you've never been able to do that before, but you learn how to do that. Or the year that you start teaching or ministering or singing or playing an instrument, or this could be the year that you could look back on and this time next year and say, "Man, my church grew and I had a part in it." Instead of, "My church grew and I watched it." What an awesome thing. So how are you doing? Are you involved? Are you active? Are you fulfilling your role? Are you about fulfilling the functions of our church? See, we have one purpose. We have five functions. And if we'll do those functions right, we'll see results that God would have us see. And so my challenge to you today, I know it's been kind of more of a talk than anything else. My challenge to you today is to help us with our purpose. I want every one of us to know that whatever role we play, we can make our church better next year. Doing a lot of good things. Help us do them better. Would you bow your heads? We're going to give an invitation, just a short one-verse invitation. And I do that simply because I never know what the Lord is doing in someone's heart. Maybe you're here today and you need to make a profession of faith, but you're just not quite sure how to do that. We want to help you with that today. Or maybe you want to become involved in something, and maybe you need to make that a matter of prayer. Well, the altar's going to be open, and I'm going to ask you here in just a moment to stand. Well, actually, go ahead and stand with me now. And Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, as Jonathan sings the next song, Lord, I pray that we'll yield to you wherever we need to yield to you. Well, Lord, whatever, let us as a body of believers be thankful for the work that's being done here. There's a lot of good things for us to take part in, and let us all do our part. We ask in Jesus' name.